Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. To record this conference. It's April 23rd, 2012, approximately 9 a.m. This is the pre-hearing conference in the matter of North Central Electric Cooperative versus Otter Tail Power Company, Public Service Commission case PU 1171. My name is Alan Holberg. I'm the procedural hearing officer in this matter. I'll take appearances at this time, starting with you, Mr. Grumman, please.
Mark Grumman, legal counsel on behalf of the Public Service Commission.
Anyone with you?
No, just me.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Hofarth, please.
Deborah Hofarth, Pringle Hickson Law Firm, Minot, North Dakota, and I am alone in my office.
Thank you. Mr. Sanderson, please.
Paul Sanderson, Zucker, Kermison, Smith, in Bismarck on behalf of Otter Tail Power, and I'm here alone in Bismarck.
Thank you. Mr. Gerritsen, please.
Bruce Gerritsen, Associate General Counsel for Otter Tail Power Company. With me, I do have two of our employees, Mark Helland and Jeff Lehman.
Thank you. All right. Thank you all. Let me just kind of summarize where I think we're at. That might be helpful. It'll be helpful for me anyway. So North Central, I'm getting some feedback somehow here. Anybody else hear that?
I do not, sir.
No, it must be on my end. Anyway, North Central has filed a complaint requesting a cease and desist order for a violation of North Dakota Century Code Section 490301 and 490301.3. In other words, they're stating that Otter Tail Power Company has not obtained a certificate of public convenience and necessity for construction of its extension to service Sky Dancer Casino. In other words, I believe that would be termed otherwise a violation of the territorial integrity law. And the complaint also states that the PSC does have jurisdiction over the complaint and authority to issue a certificate or a cease and desist order, I should say. Then an answer was filed by Otter Tail Power Company. Otter Tail, in that answer, admits the construction but denies that a certificate of public convenience and necessity is required and states that the Public Service Commission has no jurisdiction. So apparently, and you can tell me, counsel, if this is wrong, it is agreed that if the Public Service Commission has no jurisdiction, no certificate of public convenience and necessity is required. Would that be correct, Mr. Sanderson?
That would be Otter Tail's position in this case, Your Honor, and we believe that's supported by the law.
Ms. Hofarth, do you agree with that?
It would be correct that if the PSC has jurisdiction, no PCNN has been applied for or received yet.
Okay. So then Otter Tail Power Company filed a motion to dismiss under 2832.21.1H and an initial brief. Saying that the PSC has no jurisdiction, citing what it says is a determinative federal case, 896 Fed Sup 955, the Devil's Lake Sioux Tribe case. Then North Central filed a response brief, Otter Tail Company filed a reply brief, and North Central filed a response to reply. Essentially, is that where we're at right now, Mr. Sanderson?
The only thing I would add is the tribe also filed a letter on February 15th of 2012, just for the extent that that's part of the record.
A letter of what?
A letter indicating that the Turtle Mountain is aware of the proceedings, and the tribe confirms that it is exercising its inherent sovereignty to determine which utility will provide electric service to the Skydancer Casino. And it was signed by Chairman Merle St. Clair.
It wasn't a petition to intervene, was it?
It was not a petition to intervene.
All right. Okay, so North Central is asserting, I think, that there are no facts in dispute and that really this amounts to a summary judgment motion, or in other words, summary disposition. It's my understanding that Otter Tail Power Company, in one of its briefs, also says that there are no material facts in dispute to dispose of in its motion to dismiss. So are you in agreement with that, Ms. Hofarth, that there's no material facts in dispute?
Yes, Your Honor. In our brief responding, we also said that they admitted all the facts as it pertains to our complaint. And so we believe the PSC has jurisdiction and that on the facts that we prevail on the law.
Mr. Sanderson, is that your position too right now, that there's no material facts in dispute?
Yes, Otter Tail believes there's no material facts in dispute in this case.
Okay. So you just told me that the tribe has not intervened, correct?
The tribe has not intervened at this time, correct.
Do you know if they intend to intervene?
I do know. It's been represented to us. They don't intend to intervene. Your Honor, I cannot speak for the tribe. It's my understanding that this is their position. Their position, as indicated in Chairman St. Clair's letter, is that they do not believe that the commission has jurisdiction over them and a determination of who to provide electric service on their casino on their land, and again, pursuant to the federal case we cited. But it is my belief that the tribe will appear at the hearing on May 7th.
Are you calling them as a witness?
Well, we don't know procedurally. We don't know what this is going to be yet, but it's our belief that they're going to be there. We would be willing to call them as a witness. We believe they're an interested party. Mr. Grumman and I talked about this on Friday as well. Procedurally, I don't know what's going to happen on May 7th. So whether we call them as a witness or whether the commission asks if there's any interested party or other persons available that want to speak or be heard, and they stand up. But it's my understanding they will make themselves heard at the hearing.
Well, it's my understanding, Mr. Sanderson, that this is a complaint hearing. It's not an application where public testimony is taken. Either one of the parties calls a witness or somebody intervenes. But to my knowledge, that's the only way that evidence is going to get in, is if somebody calls them as a witness or they intervene, and you just said they haven't intervened, and apparently they don't intend to intervene.
Well, and if that's the position, if that's your position and the position of the commission, Otter Tail is more than willing and happy to call them as a witness.
To present what?
To present their position just so there is no misunderstanding on the part of commission or the representations on behalf of North Central that the tribe is not interested in the outcome of this proceeding or that they're not taking a position.
That they're not taking a position.
That they're not an interested party, and it seems to be, at least implied in some of North Central's filings that the tribe is not interested in the outcome of this. It's their position, Your Honor, and to the extent they need to make a limited appearance to contest jurisdiction, that may be something that we can consider or that the tribe can consider. But again, I can't speak on behalf of the tribe as to what they intend to do, but it's my understanding they will make their position known at the hearing. And if it takes us to call them as a witness, I believe Otter Tail will do that at the May 7th hearing.
Well, I want to know specifically what you're presenting, because it possibly, I mean, I don't know that we need to call a witness if we can stipulate to what they're going to present.
I would agree, Your Honor. If we can reach stipulations, and I contacted Ms. Hofarth last week about reaching stipulations, and, I spoke to Mr. Grumman about that as well. We're willing to stipulate. If we can stipulate that, the tribe has, asserted its position, and, we have the letter that's been filed here, we'd be willing to stipulate to a lot of facts, and again, we don't believe the facts are in dispute in this case.
So, as I understand from reading your briefs, Ms. Hofarth, you might be willing to stipulate, however, you basically believe that evidence isn't relevant?
Right, what we would agree that the tribe has made or requested, just like any consumer has requested, that's the customer preference. But as we've said in our brief, we don't think that's binding on the court. What we have said is that Otter Tail cannot make the argument of the sovereignty of the tribe, as that's only something the tribe can do.
As a party?
Yeah, I mean, you can only make your own defenses. Only an Indian tribe can raise issues of sovereignty. And if they're a party, then I guess we have to deal with them as a party, but as of right now, they are not.
Right.
So we don't believe, you know, as far as their testimony is relevant to the extent that they made a request for service from Otter Tail Power. What their position is about it, we don't know that that's particularly relevant.
Well, are you willing to stipulate that, are you willing to enter into a stipulation with the proviso that you're stating it's not relevant, we're going to admit it, and you can argue about that?
Yeah, I mean, they made it, we would stipulate that the tribe asked for Otter Tail for power. I don't know, beyond, you know.
Is there something further you would like stipulated, Mr. Sanderson?
Well, if we would like a stipulation as to the tribe's position in Chairman St. Clair's letter.
Are you willing to stipulate that to evidence with the proviso, Ms. Hofarth, that you don't believe it's relevant?
I don't believe what he says is relevant.
Because I'm likely to admit that. And if they call the tribe as a witness, I'm likely to admit it, and then you can argue over whether...
Yeah, the tribe's letter, I think, sets out what the tribe's position is. They want him, and here's why, and... we admit that he wrote that, and we believe that that's the reasons for doing that. We don't believe it's relevant to the proceedings.
Okay. Other than that, is there anything else that you would present as evidence if we have an evidentiary hearing on the 7th of May, Mr. Sanderson?
Well, it would all depend on what stipulations we can enter into, Your Honor. You know, the jurisdictional facts that, you know, we believe can be stipulated because they are the truth, is that the Skydancer Casino is a tribally owned facility. I don't think there's any factual dispute about that. Secondly, that the Skydancer Casino is located on tribal trust property. You know, we put in an exhibit to our motion that attached that. I don't think there's any dispute about that. Also, the tribal resolution that was passed on November 23rd, 2011, indicating that the tribe wants Otter Tail to provide service to their facility. We would want a stipulation of that. Again, I don't believe there's any factual dispute. And then fourth, that the tribe has adopted a tribal utility code. That's been around for, you know, many years. I don't think there's any dispute about that. I think those are all facts that can be stipulated to.
Would you agree to that stipulation, Ms. Hofarth?
Yeah, I mean, all of those things are true.
Okay.
I mean, as far as, you know, the relevance of the utility code, you know, we may have some relevant arguments that we would want to make with those, but...
Well, you can do that in argument.
Right.
Okay. So that those four plus the letter, which you don't believe is relevant either, are basically all the facts, correct?
Correct.
Why do we need to have a hearing? I mean, a hearing for an evidentiary hearing then, Mr. Sanderson or Ms. Hofarth?
I can speak on behalf of Otter Tail. If those facts are stipulated, like we said, we believe there wouldn't be a need for an evidentiary hearing as long as we can work out a stipulation to those facts.
Well, you just listed them, and I added the letter with, you know, the relevancy qualifications, and Ms. Hofarth said those are the facts.
Correct. We don't believe, I mean, as long as that stipulation gets entered, we don't believe there's any facts in dispute or that there would need to be an evidentiary hearing.
Can I list those based on our conversation here and say you stipulated to those and send it out as an agreement based on pursuant to this pre-hearing conference, Ms. Hofarth?
Yeah, I mean, we have a board meeting. North Central has a board meeting on Wednesday. And so, you know, I have to prove to them. But, I mean, from my perspective, yes. The only other evidence North Central would have would be, as evidentiary here, would be to show, you know, we had provided pictures and those sorts of items. I mean, it's been several months since the construction started, so there would be different, you know, when the pictures were sent in, it was just the marking of where the line is. We would have pictures of the power lines along with, you know, the maps showing the distribution.
Well, I mean, that's sort of neither here nor there. I mean, they've admitted that they've begun construction.
Right.
Why do we need anything further?
No, if there was an evidentiary hearing, you just ask what other evidence would you present, and that is the other evidence that we would have presented.
Well, are you willing to stipulate, Mr. Sanderson, that you... I mean, well, you've admitted already. I mean, there's an admission.
Yes, exactly.
There's an admission. Correct, Mr. Sanderson?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Yeah. Well, I guess we could have an evidentiary hearing, but I think we've stipulated to everything that's needed for a decision on this matter.
Okay.
Does anybody disagree? And that would include you, Mr. Grumman.
No, I don't either. I mean, if we could just do this on briefs and not even have a hearing, that's the parties that are fine with. I can brief the commissioner. Well, I guess I'd have to talk to him at an open meeting on Wednesday, but I can't imagine. I'm not sure.
Well, I guess we have a stipulation here. Now the matter is, do you want to further brief this, or do you want a chance for oral argument? I think you've pretty much briefed everything that you want to brief, but perhaps you want to make an oral argument in front of the PSC. Would that be correct, Ms. Holfra?
Yes, Your Honor.
Mr. Sanderson?
I think we're fine on briefs, but if the commission wants oral argument, we'll be happy to appear.
Mr. Grumman, do you think at the very least they'd like that?
I think so. That was kind of my impression. I mean, I'd have to, at the very least, I could go talk to the portfolio holder and see if it's something you wanted to put on for admin discussion. But Ms. Hoffart, you indicated you would like to do oral arguments?
Yeah, if the commission would like to hear oral arguments, we'd certainly be happy to travel there.
Okay, well, let's just assume, I guess this is my recommendation, Your Honor. Just assume that we're going to have the hearing and that each of you will be presenting oral arguments. I'll talk to the commissioner, the portfolio holder, and see if there's something else, and we'll put it on for admin discussion on Wednesday.
Okay. I'm gonna review the stipulation that it seems to me was agreed upon here and send that out to the parties, and that's what we'll work off of then.
Great. The only question I have, Your Honor, on May 7th, will the tribe be allowed to give oral arguments?
No. The tribe is not a party. The only purpose the tribe might have at the hearing, you might say, is if they were going to be called as a witness, but we just had stipulation that would make that unnecessary.
Your Honor, this is Bruce Garrison. I wonder if I might just address the issue of the tribe's letter and their intentions.
Sure.
If I may, you know, number one is both Mr. Sanderson and I attempted to reach R.J. Brunko, who's the counsel for the tribe, to inform him of this telephone conference and weren't able to reach him on whatever, I think it was Friday. But at the same time, I also spoke with Mr. Brunko about, their intentions with respect to the letter. My assumption is, from talking with him, is that they don't want to get caught up in formalities. It was not their intention to take any position with respect to intervention or not intervention at the time of filing that letter, and I guess I'm reluctant to say that if intervention is necessary for their being heard, I think they would intervene for that purpose. And like Mr. Sanderson, you know, they're independently represented, so I can't speak for them. They are not,
right.
You know, I don't represent them, but it's my understanding that it's their desire to be heard and for the for their position to be considered, that they are a sovereign with jurisdiction over the matter. And so I think without them independently stating their intentions, it's tough for us to move on that issue. If they wouldn't be allowed to be heard at an oral argument, I think they would believe that their position was not adequately considered.
Well, let me be clear about this. This is a complaint hearing, as I said. There are two ways to present evidence in this, to be a party, i.e. the complainant or the respondent or an intervener, or for someone to call him as a witness to present testimony. Unless they're a party, they're not involved in any of the pleadings, they're not involved in any of the oral argument or briefs or whatever. They might be called as a witness, but they're not a party. I'm not going to allow anybody to make oral argument that's not a party or to file briefs. So And it seems to me like we just stipulated to everything that the tribe would want in there. If they're just going to attend to make oral argument to somehow reaffirm their position, I'm not going to allow that because they're not a party.
If I may address that issue, Your Honor.
Who is this speaking, though?
This is Mr. Gerhardsen again.
Sure.
I think if I understand correctly, I agree with you and believe that would be adequate. But if I understand Ms. Hoffart's briefing correctly, I believe she may take a position that if they don't intervene, they may not have adequate standing to assert their position. And if I'm misunderstanding that issue, I certainly agree that their position is adequately represented by the letter. And I do think you're characterizing it the way I would, which is there's sort of a form over substance, whether they be a party or a witness or an independent jurisdiction who is asserting its jurisdiction. There's something of a form over substance issue there. And I don't know that we need to get into that as long as their assertion in that letter is treated as adequate assertion of jurisdiction.
Well, whether it's adequate or not is a legal argument. The letter is going to be part of the stipulation, and as I understand it, Ms. Hoffarth is only going to argue that it's irrelevant because she's asserting that the PSC does have jurisdiction, and that the tribe can only, it's only the tribe that can assert their sovereignty. Is that correct, Ms. Hoffarth?
Yes, we believe that only the tribe can assert its sovereignty, that a third party cannot do so.
But
Your Honor, this is Mr. Sanderson. That's the issue. You know, their big defense was that the tribe lacks standing, hasn't put their position in. But maybe to clarify this or maybe put an end to this, Judge, would it be your position that if the tribe intervenes between now and May 7th, they could be heard at the hearing?
They have to intervene within 10 days of the hearing under the commission's rules. I think that would be, that has to be soon.
if they intervene within 10 days, they could be heard if they so choose at the May 7th hearing.
Yeah, they could make oral argument then, yeah.
Okay.
But it's my understanding that really we have a stipulation. There really no whether the tribe intervenes and is heard at the hearing. We have a stipulation that means there doesn't need to be any more facts presented. Is that correct?
Well, that would be. This is Mr. Sanderson again, Your Honor. That would be our position, that this letter shows that they have made themselves heard. They've asserted that they have sovereignty, and the standing issue is gone. There's no argument over the commission or the tribe standing issue now, but we don't know if that's North Central's position.
Right. Well, your position is that there is standing, correct, Ms. Hoffarth?
I'm sorry, what, Your Honor?
Your position is, regardless of the letter and regardless of the tribe intervening, there is no standing.
For the tribe? No.
I'm sorry, that there is standing.
That the tribe would have standing to assert sovereignty? I mean, the tribe would have standing to assert its own issues, but, Your Honor, regardless of who the PSC is going to find that it has jurisdiction. We believe PSC is jurisdiction regardless.
Okay. So if the tribe intervenes to assert its sovereignty through that filing of the letter, do you have a problem with that?
Because it hadn't occurred, it hadn't really.
I mean, I'm not asking you if that.
At the top, we might issue an objection. I don't know.
Okay.
I'd have to talk to my client.
All right. Okay. Well, it appears to me like an intervention. If the tribe wants to appear at the hearing, other than a witness, and make argument, the tribe's going to have to intervene. Or file a motion to intervene soon. But again, I'm going to issue what I believe was stipulated here at this pre-hearing conference, which would make unnecessary factual presentations at the hearing on May 7th. If after I issue that, somebody disagrees and believes there needs to be further factual presentation, you need to let me know right away. Okay?
Okay, thank you, Your Honor.
Yes.
So we'll wait and see. If the tribe files a petition to intervene, motion to intervene, we'll deal with it. We'll deal with it quickly, though, because the hearing's coming up soon. So if you're going to object to that, Ms. Hofarth, if it comes in soon, I'd appreciate it if you do that right away.
I will, Your Honor.
Okay. Anything else you want to discuss today, Ms. Hofarth?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Jacobson? Mr. Jacobson?
Yes. This is Mr. Sanderson.
Mr. Sanderson. I misspoke.
Yeah, no, nothing further from my side, Your Honor.
Mr. Gerhardson?
Nothing further from me. Thank you.
Mr. Grumman?
Just a couple of things here. So from our end of it, we still haven't voted. This matter, not formally, which we hope to do this Wednesday. Now, there's two main issues regarding that. One is that I spoke to with Mr. Gerhardson and Ms. Hofarth about the requirement for a 45-day waiver of both service and then also of the 45-day for the hearing between the notice and time of the hearing. So my understanding that Mr. Sanderson indicated that that's not a problem with Otter Tail, but that Ms. Hofarth, I believe she needs to consult with her clients on the Wednesday meeting before we can get a specific determination or specific included in that regard. Am I summarizing?
The waiver for the 45 days, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, and I'm certain they're going to waive it, but I'll ask them to do that formally on Wednesday.
We're going to assume that it will be waived.
Yeah.
What I would request from both parties, i.e. Otter Tail Power and North Central, is if you could just send me an email. It's just something we want to docket, and then procedurally that should be okay in that regard. The only other thing that I want to indicate is that obviously we've got this notice. We want to make sure from our end of it that we're noticing the issues correctly. Now, I just want to understand things correctly. We're looking at both a motion hearing and a formal complaint hearing. Is that correct?
A what?
So there was a formal complaint submitted by North Central, and then also, of course, Otter Tail Power submitted a motion to dismiss. Now, so that we're noticing the issues correctly for the May 7th hearing, I just want to make sure that our issues are correct. This is both, we're going to be noticing both a motion to dismiss and also North Central's formal complaint, and that's what's going to be heard, oral arguments and et cetera, on May 7th.
Right. Well, essentially it's going to be the motion to dismiss, which is going to be rolled into a summary disposition based on oral argument.
So it's just going to be a motion to dismiss hearing, a motion hearing?
Well, no, the complaint still exists, but it's going to be summary disposition of it.
Well, how we're going to notice this then is it's going to be, we have a summary of all of the issues that have come up procedurally that's within our docket, and then the issue for determination is going to be Otter Tail Powers, motion to dismiss. That's going to be it.
You say motion dismiss and summary disposition of complaint.
Exactly.
Does that work?
Exactly, yeah. I mean,
Because, you can understand where I'm coming from is that we need to notice it correctly because the disposition powers available to the commissioners are very different. So it's obviously very important from our end of it that we notice this correctly.
Well, if the motion to dismiss is denied, then it rolls over into a summary disposition based on the complaint. So it's more than just the motion to dismiss. I mean, unless it's dismissed.
All right. Well, then what we're going to do is we're going to notice both the formal complaint and the motion to dismiss then. I'm going to just indicate the issues that we have right now because we've got a draft.
Okay.
So, number one, whether the Public Service Commission has jurisdiction to award the relief requested by the complainant. Two, whether respondent's motion to dismiss should be granted. Three, whether respondent should be restrained and enjoined from constructing or extending its lines, plant, or system to the Skydancer campus without first obtaining a certificate of public convenience and necessity from the commission. Four, whether respondent should be required to remove its service extension facilities already constructed. So I know this is a lot. What I'm going to do is that we're going to get something together. I'm going to send it to both parties. If there's some type of disagreement as far as what this notice should be included for the May 7th hearing, I guess we'll have to discuss that further.
Well, those sound like the issues to me. It's just that some of them may be unnecessary depending upon whether the motion to dismiss is granted or not.
So we all know that, but if you know, Your Honor, we have to
Right. Would you agree, Ms. Hofarth, that that would be the case?
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
But I'd like to read them.
Yeah.
Mr. Sanderson, would you agree with tentatively at least?
I agree with your position, Your Honor.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to send that out quick. What I would request respectfully, if you guys both could get back to me at 50 on that. Like I said, I'll submit it here very shortly.
Okay. And I'll be issuing the stipulation. We'll deal with a motion to intervene or a petition to intervene if we get one. But as of right now, it sounds like, and I guess unless something else develops, this is going to be a hearing for oral argument.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else, Mr. Grumman?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
Anybody else have anything else?
No, Your Honor.
Nothing else, Your Honor.
All right.
Facilitating us, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you. It's 9:35. This pre-hearing conference is over. You may hang up.
Thank you.
Bye now.